have given us, everything that we have need in this life. And Lord, we just worship you and praise you this morning, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day it is. We're so blessed to be able to worship God in this country. Amen. Well, I've chosen a title for the message today called Awaken. And, you know, God has an extraordinary life for you. Do you believe that? Or just do what just want the ordinary? No. Shaking your heads, no. He has a life for us that he has planned before the foundation of the earth, that we would walk in it. And few times, sometimes there are people in God's family who do not walk in that life that God's planned for them. And so I want to talk about that today. I want to say that there's some things that we need to awaken to, because there's a plan. God has a plan for each one of us. And he is working. God is working. He's working that plan. Amen. Even though you don't see it sometimes, you don't comprehend or understand in the natural, if God has promised something, he's willing and able to perform it. Amen. And we got to keep our trust in God. We're living in a time like no other time. There's so much trouble going on in the world and everywhere around us. We're, you know, people are struggling with all kinds of problems and situations. But we're going to see today that no matter what comes, God has a plan for you to live in victory, for you to overcome. Amen? And for you to always triumph. So my question today is, are you in? Are you in? Are you in on that plan? Amen? Are you walking in the fullness of what God has planned for you? You know, I think about getting saved when I was 8 years old, little girl in Detroit, Michigan. Yeah, I did have red hair. I don't know what happened with this, but I used to have really bright red hair and a lot of freckles. As a matter of fact, when I was over in Thailand, there's another girl over there with red hair, and she's got a lot of freckles. And she said, "I'm so glad to see you." She said, "Show them your skin." So I did. I showed the little orphan children my skin. And she said, "They think that I'm sick, that something's wrong with me." And when they see you, then they'll know that it's okay. But I think about how God rescued me when I was 8 years old. I never had a thought that he would take me to 115 nations of the world. But you know what? When you open your heart to God, and if you will love him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, you can enter into the most extraordinary life that you'd ever thought. You may be sitting here today and say, "Yeah, but I've messed up so much." Listen, it's not too late. It's not too late to get in on God's plan. Amen? Do you believe me this morning? Well, I was in Nigeria, one of those many lands that God has taken me to. And in one of the meetings there, there was a prophetic word that came through. And I tried to recap that this morning, because when this message came forth, it hit my spirit. And I grabbed a hold of it, because I just knew it was the Lord speaking. And this is sort of how the prophecy went. And it was from a seasoned old prophet from South America. I don't even know what his name is. But the prophecy went like this. It said, "I have sounded the trumpet. This day is the beginning of different days." Say different days. New experiences. Say new experiences. "And you will be surprised." Ooh, that's good. How many of you like surprises? Some of you don't ever get a surprise because you know everything you're getting for Christmas, because you made the list, or you opened the presents like I did when I was 8 years old. No, 10 years old, somewhere around there. Yeah, I guess it was after I saved. Ooh, I haven't asked God to forgive me about that. Anyway, I stayed home from school, supposedly sick. My mom had to go to work. I opened every present. I looked at all of them, and then I tried to tape them back. And how many of you know that a child doesn't do a very good job of wrapping? Boy, was I in trouble. Just that curious mind, you know, wanting to know. Well, listen, God has a great plan. He goes on to say this. He says, "Many of my people have not been able to hear what I am doing, or hear or see what I am doing. Have ears and listen to me. It's a new and a different time. The history of the church shall change dramatically. I have determined it so, and who shall prevent it? And I'd like to put this scripture up here, because then he gave this scripture, because that was the scripture that the Lord had given to him out of Isaiah. It says this, verses 21 to 27, exactly as I have planned, it will happen. This is God speaking. Following my blueprints, it will take shape. I will shatter the Assyrian. Is it scatter or shatter? Shatter. And the Assyrian here represents God's enemies. Okay? God says, I'm going to shatter them. Amen? How many of you know that the devil is fighting from a defeated position? And unless you and I rise up and be what God called us to be, you know, he'll get away with it. He'll get away with doing whatever he desires to do. But if you and I will rise up and know that what God has purposed and spoken, he stands ready to fulfill it. Amen? And that he's going to fulfill it in and through you and I. He says this, who trespasses my lands and stomp him into the dirt on my mountains. I will ban his taking and making of slaves and lift the weight of oppression from all shoulders. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? How many of you know somebody today that's oppressed? Maybe it's you. And you're sitting there today. God says, I'm going to lift that oppression off of your shoulders. And he will do it because he's promised it. He said, this is the plan. Planned for the whole earth. Not just one spot. Not just one nation. Not just one city. This is God's plan that's been planned for all the earth. And this is the hand that will do it, reaching into every nation. The God of angel armies has planned it. Who can ever cancel such plans? His is the hand that reached out. Who can brush it aside? And you know that hand is reaching out to us all the time. But we can brush it aside because we have a free will. We have a free will to choose the life that God has for us, or to choose our own way of going. And, you know, there's just some things that we need to look at today. But I want this is going to come out joyful, because you're going to be so excited about living the life that God has for you that you're going to do these things. Number one, you're going to wake up. Amen? And there's a scripture for this that says we need to wake up out of sleep. You know, I think about my granddaughters, you know. They love the story of Snow White, when the prince kisses Snow White and she wakes up. Well, listen, you've been kissed by the Prince of Peace. Wake up! Amen? Wake up! Or, hey, Jesus has found the shoe that fits your foot, like Cinderella. Amen? He's got a whole new life for you. Why do people love these kind of fairy tales and these stories? Is because they have a longing in their heart for a life like that. Well, God has a life for you like that. And we're going to find out that no matter what oppression, no matter what hard thing the enemy brings your way, God's grace is going to bring you through it. Because we're going to look at three things today that I call three keys to coming into this extraordinary life that God has for us. We got to cast off something, and we've got to put on. We got to cast off what? The evil works of darkness, the things that have held us in bondage. Listen, the human will is very strong. You say, but I just can't overcome, like Pastor Casey Treat used to say, eating that bag of Cheetos. That Cheetos has power over you. It is pretty good. But it's not good for you, right? So we've got to cast off the restraints, even that we put on ourselves or other people have put on us, or cast off the works of darkness. Just cast them off and say, you know, that's it. I'm not putting up with that anymore. And put on the armor of light, the Word of God says. Put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of God, because we are in a battle, folks. Have you noticed? I mean, everyone loves it that we're in the family of God. And we really love it that we're the bride of Christ. But don't talk about that army. But we are the army of God. And God's counting on us that we will take our place and our position. Then it says this, live honorably. You know, I was reading a book by a minister recently, and he said, why are so many of God's people failing morally? He asked the Lord this. And the Lord said this, because they have wrong teaching. They've had the wrong seeds sown inside of them. Teaching like, well, you know, you're just a sinner, forgiven. No, you're not. You're a new creation. There's a big difference. Because if you still just see yourself as just an old sinner being forgiven, then that's what you're going to live up to. That's the image that's been painted on the inside of you. And we have to go back and examine some of these things that we've heard from religion, and we need to slaughter some sacred cows. I heard a joke recently, or maybe I saw it somewhere, I don't know, but there was a guy out in the field of a farmer, and there was a cow out there, and he had a peg leg. And he was just standing out there, and the farmer said, he went over and said to him, this cow, it's kind of interesting. He said, yeah, he's a very good cow. He saved my kid's life, and he did this, and he did that. And he said, well, can you explain to me the peg leg? He said, yeah, it's real hard to eat a cow like that. In other words, he'd just taken one leg off. Are you awake this morning? It is bad. Sorry. Well, I'm not going to. Okay. All right. Okay, I admit it. But what I'm saying is this. We're not just going to take a leg off a sacred cow. We're going to slaughter the whole thing. Because we don't need any dead religion in us. We don't need any false ideas. We need to know who we are and what we have and what we can do. Amen? Because we're living in a time where the world's longing for us to rise up and be what God's called us to. Three truths I really want to cover today that we need to awaken to. We need to awaken to righteousness. That's right standing with God. You got to be careful what you look at, because I just saw that joke, I don't know where, somewhere. And see, it just came out of me. It's all right. You get the point. Anyway. So we need to awaken to righteousness. You know, I think about Deborah in the Old Testament. The Word of God says in the book of Judges, chapter 5, she said, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And what was she awakening to? The righteous standard that God wanted in the land. And in America, we need to wake up. We need to wake up to the righteous standard that God has given us. Amen? Then it said to her, yesterday morning in pastor's prayer, we were praying, and Pastor Mark was walking by me as he was praying, and I heard him say this very strong, arise. That's the thing that Deborah did. She awoke to righteousness. She rose up to a higher level where she could see where she hadn't seen before. And then it says, take dominion and lead. That's what we need to do, people. You say, well, I'm not a leader. Oh, yes, you are. Amen? You are a leader. You have Christ on the inside of you. You are a child of the Most High God. And we need to have the kind of godly confidence on the inside of us and stop letting the enemy fool with your mind and try to tear you down. Amen? Cast every thought that he gives you that does not line up with this word here, cast it down and bring it under your feet. Because we've got a job to do. We've got an extraordinary life to live, and we're going to live it in righteousness. And it says, awaken to the fullness of grace and awaken to the spirit of faith. Let me give you a scripture on righteousness. It's awake to righteousness and do not sin. And so often we say this here, but I don't have a problem continually saying it, because I find everywhere I go all over the world, God's people still do not know they're righteous. They're still trying to earn it. They're still trying to earn acceptance. Listen, because of what Jesus did on Calvary, he made you righteous. He's given you right standing with the Father. He wants to take away all insecurity, all inferiority, and give you access into his throne room. This righteousness gives us a boldness in our life. Righteousness produces boldness. Say that. Righteousness produces boldness. And that means that you're going to speak up. You're going to open your heart and begin to speak to people. Amen? Speak the truth to them. And when you speak truth, that's how they get free. They're not going to get free any other way. But you see, if you are always sin conscious, then that's what you're going to gravitate towards. But if you are righteousness conscious, and I'd say it like this, if I had a white dress on here, up here, I would not want a little kid with chocolate peanut butter hands coming up and touching me. Why? Because I have white on. I'm not going to go rub up against the wall. If you have black on, you just don't care. But if you have white on, let's say, who has white on? We have white on. Robes of righteousness, amen? We're purified, right standing before the Father. So awaken unto that so that you can walk in that righteousness that God has given to you. Awaken unto grace. Hallelujah. The grace of God. God's ability. And I wrote down some extra things because there's just so much about grace. And the Word of God says His grace is sufficient, or His grace is enough for you every day. God's supernatural ability that He has shared with us, He's given with us, given unto us, is ours for every day. And I think about Paul, you know, when he had such a revelation of the Word of God, of who we are in Christ. He received that revelation from heaven. And because of it, there was a messenger of Satan, a demonic spirit sent to hinder him, to stop him, to harass him. And so he sought the Lord. Three times he said, Lord, take this thing away from me. Take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient. And you never ask. As a matter of fact, he said, I look forward to oppositions. I look forward to those things because then his grace is working in me. How did he go from take this thing off me to where I don't care what hits me, I'm coming through it? And he did too. They left him for dead. You had to climb over a wall. Amen. He was opposed here, opposed there, in a shipwreck, all kinds of things. But he ended up successfully fulfilling his destiny in God. And so will you because of the grace of God. The Bible says that Jesus spoke gracious words. Words, gracious words came out of his mouth. They wondered at his gracious words. And that grace, that ability is ours for every single day of our life. So let's wake up to it. Amen? It says here in this scripture, 1 Peter 4:10 in the Amplified, as each of you have received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as good trustees, or another word for that is steward. Be a good steward of the grace of God. One scripture says, don't frustrate the grace of God. How do we do that? We frustrate the grace of God when we want to try to do things on our own. I found out a long time ago that it's so much better to do it God's way. His way is excellent, and His way is perfect. No, His way doesn't always line up with your intellect. It doesn't always make any sense in the natural way of understanding. But God's wisdom is higher. Amen? And His grace and His ability is there for each one of us. So he said, be a good trustee of God's many-sided grace. Another word for this is manifold. And I know what this means. It means many-sided because when I went to go get my driver's license, I was 16. I had my dad's Oldsmobile. But I had a problem because he had a manifold, I don't know what that the exhaust system is called. But when you turned it on, it sounded like five or six Harleys. Randy's going, yes. So I'm going, you know, for my driver's license, and I turned this thing on, and it makes that blah, you know, sound. And my instructor said, you failed. I said, why? He said, that thing's illegal. I thought, oh, no. What am I going to do now? I had to borrow someone else's car to take that because of the manifold. It, you know, many, many sided is what that word means. You'll never exhaust the grace of God. God's grace has so many facets to it. And that grace is there. That's what got you saved. faith and grace. And that grace is what's going to carry you through every single day. Appropriate the grace of God. I don't know why it is, because I've done this myself. Knew that I was saved by grace, but didn't really realize that I could appropriate that grace every single day, that I could tap in to God's ability, that I didn't just have to, you know, do it my own way or try to think through it all myself. Amen? Manifold grace of God. Tap into it. It says, faithful stewards, there's that word, of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by his unmerited favor. Hallelujah for the grace of God. His grace is there for us every single day of our life. Do you believe it? And it's a good thing, because we're not on our own. God, you know how much God loves you and how much he wants you to be successful, and he wants you to fulfill your divine destiny. Do you know that today? How many of you know it? Good. Maybe half of you. Well, I'll keep going until the other half know it too. He wants you to be successful. You know how some parents are, they really, too many of them identify just through their children and what their children are doing. You have a life of your own too, but you're proud of your children, aren't you? And some of them, I see, they got bumper stickers. And the bumper sticker says, my son is a Marine, that's something to be proud of. Or my son goes to Dewey High School. I won't go there. But those parents are proud. Well, I'm wondering if God puts bumper stickers on his chariot. For us, he's proud of his children. He wants us to be successful. He has a father's heart. He loves us. He doesn't want us to be defeated in this life. That's why he's given us so much, so that we could go on in this life and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Mary, she sent out a little form, my daughter-in-law, for Thanksgiving. And it's got a lot of little questions on it. I think it's probably for some kind of a little game we're going to play when we finally get out there. And one of the things talks about superpower. What superpower would you want if you could have it? And I looked up a few little statistics, and 70% of the blockbuster movies, that all-time great movies, are movies about superpowers, like Spider-Man and that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, we were driving the other day, and there was a blue boot sitting on the side of the road, but it had kind of a futuristic look to it. And I'm like a child. I'm thinking, ooh, some superpower lost it. No, what did you put, Mark, if you had a superpower? You don't remember. I know what I did. I believe I can fly. Amen? That was the one I want. I believe. Amen? But you know what? We do have superpower. And one of these days we will fly. Hallelujah. But that's what people are desiring. They're desiring for an extraordinary life. And God has that life for you. Amen? Don't settle for the mundane. Don't settle for, a life as usual. But let's tap into all these wonderful things that God has for us. You have the real thing. There used to be a song out, all we need is the real thing, baby, and I'm not going to try and sing it. If I was overseas, I'd sing. I sing all the time overseas. Don't tell Mark. But anyway, I'm happy. I love to sing. Amen? The karaoke queen. Oh, no. I remember that. In the Philippines, after we've done all these meetings, the only place we could eat was a bar. And so we go in there, and there have karaoke. And so the pastor's wife, it's Shadi Chase, Paul Chase's wife, she's got a great voice. So she said, okay, I would like to sing this, because people were singing different things. So I chose Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. All right, I only know the part about Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. I don't know the other yell over the place. man, I got a new respect for Madonna's talent. Because there's no way I could hit those up, down, up, down. Who knows where those notes came from? But I do sing. Why do we sing? We sing because we're happy. We sing because we are free in our God. We sing because we've got a great life. Hallelujah. And it's even going to get greater in the days to come. The world may be very messed up right now, but they don't need to see a bunch of messed up Christians. We have struggles. We have problems. We have things that we go through, but we're going through them. And we're going to come out on the other side, triumphant in Christ. Because what God has promised, that His church would manifest His presence in these last days, we need to expect that. Amen? Because we are going to manifest it. We're going to see. You know, there was a high regard for the early church, for the apostles. I remember in Acts chapter 10, Peter came by the power of the Holy Spirit, by a vision. God was trying to get him to open the door to the Gentiles. He wasn't getting it. Finally, God said, get up and go. There's some people coming for you. Don't ask any more questions. Just go. When he got to Cornelius's house, they all bowed down. And you know what Peter said? Get up. Stand up. I'm a man like you. But they had such honor and such respect. Now, that doesn't mean that the religious people did or those who opposed what God was doing. Well, God is going to reestablish this honor for him through his people. We are an honorable people. We are a people of integrity. We are a people that manifest the character of God, the nature of God, the power of God. That is who we are. I hope I can build you up this morning so that all the rest of this week you can sing. Amen? You'll be free. You'll be able to step into all that God has for you. So we need to awaken to these things. Hallelujah. Now, the third thing, awaken to the spirit of faith. And let's look at this scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I have believed and therefore have I spoken. We too believe and therefore we speak. What does that mean? That means that when we believe God for something, we're not ashamed to say it. Because if we don't say it, we'll never experience it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. And if you know that God has spoken something to your heart, start speaking that. I wish I had something to throw up here. A small thing. Anybody have a small thing I can throw? Yeah, that'll work. Thank you, honey. You're a servant. I appreciate it. This is how it works. I'm just going to give you a little visual this morning. And I'm saying it this way because, you know, when I first started understanding how powerful your confession is, that faith is something you have to be in your heart and in your mouth. And as you're speaking it out, faith comes because you're hearing. But years ago, we were in another church. It was not Victory Christian Center. It was another church we were serving for a couple years. And every time the word Australia would come up, I would say, I'm going there. Finally, one day, one of the pastors on staff said to me, will you stop saying that? I said, no, I will not stop saying that till you find my body in Australia. I will continue to say that because faith speaks. If you're not willing to speak it, then it's not faith. And there's a spirit of faith that comes by the Holy Spirit that quickens us to those works that God has called us unto and strengthens us to be able to carry them out. Amen? And so, I said that. And then when I was in Australia, I was in New Zealand and Australia, I had a day off. So I went over to the Hills Conference that was going on. And I didn't know, but this pastor was in that meeting. And thousands of people are sitting out there. And it's a pastor's wife. She looks out and she says to me, Linda Turner, is that you? I said, yes, I'm here. I didn't realize that what I said was not only my faith speaking, but it was also prophetic because she found my body in Australia. Amen. So this is how it is now. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was saying I'm going to Bataan, but there, I've been there. Hallelujah. What are you saying? Are you just saying how you feel? Are you saying how things look? Are you saying how the economy is? No, start speaking those dreams and desires that are deep in your spirit. Amen? Let the spirit of faith arise on the inside of you. So this is what I do now. I say this, I'm going to Afghanistan. Okay, it's out there. God's working, God's moving. As I walk in obedience to Him, you will find me there. Amen? That's how it works. Speaking, believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. And you will see those things come to pass. True faith is relentless and it never gives up. It's relentless. It hangs on. It's strong. It will not give up to the very end. And that's what God is looking for. Without faith, we can't please Him. But we're not without faith. Say, I am not without faith. Yeah, you know why? Because He's given everyone a measure. And you're the one that determines how big that measure gets. You can cause that measure of faith to grow and grow and grow. Listen, God is not moved by need. He's moved by faith. And I'll give you a good example. In the New Testament, Jesus was in a huge crowd. And there was a blind man named Bartimaeus. And he was crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And all the disciples and people were saying, shut up, don't bother him. But he cried out again, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says this, and Jesus stood still. Why? He said, come here. He threw off that blind man's cloak, got to Jesus, and he was healed. And then Jesus said this, your faith has made you whole. Jesus is moved by faith. And he will move whatever it takes to be moved so that you and I can be all that God's called us to be. I want to close this morning with a scripture out of Mark. And it says this, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but everyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. There's no other option. We need to, in our everyday life, when we're out among the people, there's only two categories of people. Those that know God, those who do not know God. Those, maybe there's those out there that want to know God, and they're looking for Him in you. I'd like for us to pray this morning. And I want you to really grab a hold of these three things. Get into the Word of God. Awaken. Awaken to the righteousness that you have right standing with God. Stop letting the devil condemn you. Stop letting the devil bring up your past. Why don't you bring up his past? Oh, his future's even worse. And right now, he's filled with wrath, and he is displaying his evil works all over the world. God knows that this world needs to be refreshed. They need to see a refreshing people. They need to see a strengthened people. They need to see how we handle it under pressure. Because when we're under pressure, His grace, His ability is there for us. And with the spirit of faith, nothing is impossible to us. Amen? Don't let those dreams go on the inside of you. We're going to pray this morning. And I want to pray this way. I want to pray, all of us to pray together. But if you're here and you're not really sure whether you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you really can't remember a day when you opened your heart door and let the Son of God come in. I can remember when that happened for me. And if it happened for you, I just saw somebody with a big grin on their face, because when you think about that, it makes you happy, doesn't it? It makes you happy to know that Jesus found you. You didn't find Him. He found you. Thank God somebody shared the gospel with you, or somebody invited you to church. But this morning, we're all going to pray together. And we're going to again confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you just look at his life, look at him and the way he lived, the way he responded, didn't react, the gracious words that came out of his mouth, the way he loved, the way he was strong, the way he endured pain for the joy of knowing that you would know him someday. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Can we pray together this morning? And I want you to pray from your heart as we say these things together. Say, Dear Father, I come to you today, and I am so thankful that you sent your wonderful Son, Jesus, to redeem my life from destruction. Jesus Christ, I believe you're the Son of God. And today, I open my heart again. Come in.